to start. While we are waiting for those copies, I think the correctional services is ready. We can start with correctional services, then after come back to the report of the justice at the Cameroon. Just because we don't want to waste time, I've got a lot of things to do. In this few words, can we observe the memory of silence for the prayer? Thank you very much. Let me take this opportunity on our members and our officials of welcoming you in this meeting after this game, after the very strong game that we had in the country. Welcome back. I can say everybody's back. I was worried whether the all the members of the party will come back, but I can say everybody's back. Welcome back. I thought you would be a mayor today, but I know there are a lot of changes. You know, there are, even myself, I thought that I'd be a mayor of the O.R. Tambo. That didn't happen. feel free, all the members. Feel free, you are most welcome. Let's deliver it where we meet. Before I move, can we adopt the agenda or can we add anything from the agenda? Honorable Josh?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, I know the department is here and we shouldn't ideally deal with internal matters while the department is here. But I would like to, on behalf of the opposition, request, since we are a quorum from six different provinces, that we include, before the briefing of the department, a motion on behalf of the opposition, a motion without notice to be dealt with today at this very moment of no confidence in the chairperson. Thank you. Honourable Chairperson, if I just may, our rules are silent on the processes. If we can also just get some advice on the from the content advisor and the secretary as to the process. But we are a quorum from six different provinces, and our rules make provision for such a motion. However, the exact processes are silent in our rules. Thank you.
Honourable Member, I think we need to get an advice on this. As you know, that this is the first thing that we experience here, and I don't know which rule are you taking from or which section are you quoting from this.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, it's a normal, at this stage, it's not yet the agenda point that we're dealing with. At this stage, I believe, as Chairperson, you should be aware that at this stage it's just a request for an additional point. I would suggest that you as Chairperson perhaps first ask the committee whether we can add that point before we start discussing the point itself. Thank you.
Honourable Mutetwa.
Thank you, Chairperson. Can I second to Chairperson?
Get an advice, and I think can we propose an agenda for 5 minutes? Thank you. You suppose this one to motion to the committee. You're supposed to write that motion to the chairperson of the NSOP, and you're going to write to just come at. This is not part of the agenda. It's a motion. So are not dealing with motions here. Yeah? We are dealing with an agenda of the day. Thank you. Can I honorable chair?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, as I said before, we are still at the point of adopting the agenda. So my suggestion was that we add this matter for discussion as a quick first point, and again, my apologies to the department for delaying their presentation, but that we add this point on the agenda first, adopt the agenda, and then deal with this point on the agenda so that we can all get clarity on this matter. I would move that we include this as a first agenda point, adopt the agenda, and then to discuss it. It won't take long. I have only one or two submissions to make, but I'm not going to delay the process. But perhaps if I may ask if we can move for the adoption of the agenda with that inclusion of the one agenda point. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. As I said, there's even no need to put into the agenda the motion. Then, so if you want to add it, you have to go via the chairperson of the NSOP. But Chairperson, we cannot even discuss it. We cannot even put it as an agenda.
Chairperson, on a point of order, we cannot, if we have an agenda before us and we want to amend it as a committee, go to the chairperson of the NCOP with every single amendment that we want to propose to every single agenda. It actually underlines the fact that I want to bring this motion because clearly the rules are not very known to the chairperson. But if I may, further to my point of order, there is provision in the rules, and I didn't want to discuss it at this point, but since you're forcing me to do so, Rule 14 of the NCOP rules deals with the removal of presiding and other officers from office. It says that the council may, by resolution, move by the head of a provincial delegation and seconded by the heads of at least three other delegations, remove from office the chairperson or the deputy chairperson of the council, or another presiding officer, which you are chairperson, or the chief whip of the council. So it does cover the chairperson of a committee. The only thing that it says is that a draft resolution must be prepared, which I have done, setting out the rules for our motion with no confidence, and it requires the support of one province's delegation head within this committee, which is myself representing the Free State, since the other member of the Free State of the ANC is absent, like most other ANC members. And I need the support, according to Rule 14 of this committee, the support of three other provinces in order to bring such motion. We have a draft resolution in terms of Rule 14 in written form, and I would submit that Rule 14 does apply to this committee. If you prefer to continue, we will take it up with the chairperson of the NCOP. However, chairperson, I need to state it very clearly. This needs to be a very clear message to the governing party, that if you receive taxpayers' money to attend these meetings, then you have to attend these meetings. The members of this committee are being paid taxpayers' money. The department comes all the way to give this presentation, and the ANC has no interest in what is before this committee today. If you wish to govern, govern. If you can't govern, step aside. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. You have got the right to take that motion to the chairperson before you present it here. We are here to govern, and we'll govern till Jesus comes. So if you think that we are not governing, then it's up to you. But the people of this country gave us the mandate to govern. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can we proceed with our agenda?
You will govern until Jesus comes. No, there's nothing that is forcing you to say that.
Withdraw.
You are misleading.
Withdraw.
You are.
Withdraw.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honourable Member. I think we have to proceed. Can we adopt the agenda as it is? Any proposal? permanent pour nous. Elle est secondaire. You are noted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you. No second,
This
is why we manipulate the proposing the adoption of this agenda. We need a seconder. We don't have a seconder.
Chairperson, on a point of order, I just want to bring it under your attention that that is the whip of this committee who needs to make sure that the members actually attend.
No, Ted, thank you very much. Honourable member, without wasting time, we'll ask the acting commissioner just to brief the committee, have some comments, and then give him to the presenter to present the. Thank you very much. Otherwise, we are item number one, which we are expecting briefing by the Department of Correctional Services on the progress made to address the issues and shortcomings raised by the Chief Justice Cameron on the report on the Baltimore Correctional Service Center and Remand Center and Human Center. Thank you very much, Acting Commissioner.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson and members of the Select Committee. My name is James Smalberger, and Chairperson, allow me firstly just to apologise on behalf of the National Commissioner, Mr. Zach Medise, who is currently not at work. He had a back operation on the 26th of July, and the Honourable Minister appointed me to act in his absence up until he will return, hopefully the first part of September, that means next month. Chairperson, with me, before I introduce, let me also apologize on behalf of the inspecting judge, Judge Juan van der Westhuizen, who is unfortunately not possible for him to be here. The acting CEO, Mr. Masondo, from the Judicial Inspection Office, had a bereavement in the family, so therefore he's also not here. Chairperson, I will ask the Honorable Committee to accept the apologies of the three mentioned individuals. Chairperson, let me introduce the delegation who is with me at this meeting today. On my right-hand side is Mr. Dileke Klaas. He is the regional commissioner responsible for the Western Cape, and obviously that includes also Paulsmoor. Next to Mr. Klaas is Mr. Kunumsi Ntlakana. He is our chief security officer, and I think it becomes obvious because there was a specific area of request for gang management strategy, which he will also, during the presentation, assist us. Chairperson, next to him is Mr. Sifiso Ndakana. He is our newly appointed deputy commissioner responsible for facilities, and he's also here, Chairperson, for to hear firsthand what is our political leadership from the Select Committee is saying, so that we can make sure that he's also taking on board what is being said at the Select Committee. Chairperson, next to him is Andronika, and she is the Assistant and Secretariat for our Parliamentary Office. Next to her, Chairperson, is the Chief Deputy Commissioner responsible for Strategic Management, Mr. Joe Katenga. And next to him, Chairperson, is the Acting Director at the Inspecting Judge Office, Mr. Umesh Raza. And then, Chairperson, there's two persons with him, but I think I will leave it to him to introduce, because the first person next to him's name is Professor. And normally it confuses committee members that they think it's a professor in the meantime, his name is Professor. So that is just on a lighter side, Chairperson, because we were here some months ago at the Portfolio Committee, and there was addressing of Professor, and it is his name. Mr. Umesh, can I just ask you maybe just to introduce the two colleagues before we continue with the presentation?
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and members of this Select Committee. Let me repeat the apologies from Justice van der Westhuizen, Johan van der Westhuizen, newly appointed Inspecting Judge of our office, and of course, Mr. Masondo. My colleague on my right is Rapule Moshlaba. He goes also by the name of Professor Moshlaba, who heads the department that deals with debts and what we call mandatory reports. We'll expand on that as we go on further. Next to him is Glenisha Tobias, who works in the complaints division of the inspectorate. And then on the far right is Samantha Naidu, who works in our policy and research department, which is located in the CEO's office. So that would be the delegation. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and Mr. Raga. Chairperson, allow me just to give a brief overview before we go into the detailed presentations, Chairperson, and I want to confirm that Mr. Deleke Klaas, the Regional Commissioner, will do the presentation on behalf of Correctional Services, and then Mr. Raga will do it from the Inspecting Judge side. Chairperson and Honourable Members, I think it is important to maybe just to give a short overview and a brief before we go into the details. Chairperson and Honourable Members, Correctional Services, as it's commonly known, we are at the end of the value chain. Now, you know, if South African Police Service is very successful with their arrests and the Department of Justice with the convictions and or remanding people, it is to our detrimental and our challenges, because we don't have an option to say our facilities are full. We, by law, need always to admit sentence and awaiting trial or remand detainees from courts, and the only requirement is they need to have a warrant of detention, and then we are obliged to admit them. Chairperson, in terms of Correctional Services at large, you know, we are coming from an era where we were Department of Prisons, and the most of our facilities were built during the time of apartheid, where it was more intended to keep people inside as on a warehouse principle, and not on a correcting offending behavior as we are doing. Chairperson, just before the dawn of democracy, we have changed the Correctional Services name to be the Department of Correctional Services. And our current Correctional Services SJ is different from the previous one. The previous one, which was 8 of 1959, our main function was only to detain offenders safely. But the current Correctional Services Act, 111 of 2000, which was approved in 1998 and portions thereof during the 2000s, Chairperson, the main function is safe custody as well as the rehabilitation of offenders and the reintegration of those offenders successfully in society. Chairperson, during the past number of years, we have built a number of correctional facilities, we have upgraded a number of facilities, but we still have in our department very old, dilapidated correctional facilities, even some with temporary structures which will come out also as part of the presentation. Chairperson, we are coming to this Honourable Committee basically a week after the Department of Correctional Services had a strategic planning session, which was chaired by the Honourable Minister Masuta as well as the Deputy Minister Makwetla. And Chairperson, during that strategic session, there were a number of issues highlighted, but two of the very important issues that the strategic planning identified and which the department need to empower our minister to take them at the forward is the status of our correctional facilities, and as we call it also the infrastructure and maintenance plan. And coupled to that, Chairperson, is overcrowding. And overcrowding, we will go into more detail, like, is one of the areas that is really putting tremendous pressure on our department. Chairperson, we have, as we are saying, bed space for 119,134 offenders, 119,134. But Chairperson, as of yesterday, we had in our custody 160,094. 160,094, of which 42,081 were remand detainees and 118,013 are sentence offenders. Now, Chairperson, if we are just looking on face value, that if our awaiting clause 42, our sentence 118 and our best space is 119, you will see that if this department was only responsible for sentence offenders, we were really in a good position at least to make sure that overcrowding doesn't exist. But Chairperson, we are not in that space, and we have as a department and as a government need also to take care for remand detainees, and that also caused us to be severe overcrowded. It's roughly 34% more offenders or individuals or inmates than our bed space. Chairperson, if we are coming down to the Western Cape, Mr. Plaas will give us the fine details. But Chairperson, I think we need also to remind ourselves that if crime is high in a country, that has an impact on our correctional facilities. Chairperson, in this province, and especially at Nyanga, we know that Nyanga is our, I don't even want to use the word capital, but that is where the most per capita murders are taking place, as well as rape cases. Now, if that is the environment, and Chairperson, we are glad you also asked us to come and brief you on gangs, because gangs in communities are also play a role with gangs inside the correctional facility, and the opportunity for us to brief the Honourable Committee on that is appreciated. And Chairperson, we are really looking forward for this engagement to be honest with the committee, to share with the committee where we have problems, to share with the committee where we have improvements, as well as to share with the committee what are our intentions and plans on the way forward. Chairperson, with this few words, I want to say thank you for the opportunity. Chairperson, we are in your hands whether you want the department to continue with the presentation whereafter Jigs will present, or you want Jigs to present and we'll come afterwards. Chairperson, we are in your hands. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I think because we said we are going to start with the correctional services, but Jigs is here now. He gave us the, and I think he must start. Before you start, Jigs, I think we need to introduce ourselves that you can present to the people that you know. My name is Dumisani Kimbi. I'm the chairperson of this committee.
My name is James Sedra. It's the whip of this committee.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is George Mikalakis. I'm a permanent delegate from the Free State.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Ronwen Engelbrecht, permanent delegate from Gauteng.
Good morning. My name is Marvin Chetty, permanent delegate from KwaZulu-Natal.
Sorry, members, if we can not go into details, because time now, because of that delay, that, yeah, thank you very much. We've got a lot of meetings today.
Chairperson, maybe just on a lighter note, next up, there were a lot of people who interpreted the cabinet of the city of the Lonela High, and the cabinet of the city of the city of the
city of the city of the
city of o ka ntetlella tshe gore ke tlhagise ngongorego ya presentation wa bona matlhaka a mashibidi na I don't want them to be more read than presentation we can't even read. I don't know the little knowledge that I have ya computer is that when you make a document, you make it in black and you highlight it in red or any other color, and then you explain the colors. So this presentation is just red, like, my I know my color is red from EFL, my blood is red. But red means, it's an amended one.
Oh.
It's not the same, I'm telling you.
I'm
telling you it's not the same thing. You are telling me it's the same thing. Hey, check. This one, it's not the same as this one. This one is an amended report. So you are having the wrong document. It's just a concern to say next time they must not print in red.
Thank you very much, honorable member. Thanks very much. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Perhaps, and with the interest of problem with time, very briefly, I think it's obviously the first time our experience addressing the select committee, so very, very briefly, and I'll turn to page 3 of our presentation. In fact, our presentation for the record is the one at the bottom of the presentation presented by Acting Director Umeshwaga. That's the one that's on the table. So we'll be all on the same page there. Go to page 3 of what was supposed to be a PowerPoint presentation. Very briefly, the Inspectorate established in 1998 is an independent office under the control of the judge. Of course, our finances are determined or are sourced from the department itself, but our functional operations, in other words, visiting prisons, dealing with complaints, we're independent in that sense. The object, as if in the statute, is to inspect prisons and then to report on what we find within the prisons. So essentially, we are a reporting body on each inspection to the minister, annually to the president, and so on. I've covered everything on page 3. I'll turn to the next page. The statute also makes clear in section 90 in its entirety with regard to what the judge can and cannot do, and what we say on page 4 is again, and I repeat, looking at the treatment of inmates and the conditions within the centres. We also deal with complaints from inmates, and maybe at this stage I'll just pause and say, in terms of the statute and our structure, we have in each prison, each correctional facility or remand detention facility, persons we call independent correctional center visitors. The acronym is ICCVs or IPVs. People on the ground will meet those people in the prisons. And they act as eyes and ears. They monitor what's going on at the first level, at the rudimentary level. And that's what we deal with in bullet number 2, where I make reference to ICCVs and business committees. Importantly, maybe just to note also for the committee and persons who work in constituencies and are community-based, is that the Independent Correctional Center visitors is unique, I think, in the world. Based partly on a British model, but these are ordinary people a community-based organization must nominate to be contracted to CHICS, and then in terms of the contract between us and them, they do the monitoring and oversight role. That's on the one hand, dealing with treatment and conditions. The other important thing, and we do emphasize, and the reason I'm emphasizing this is that you know, we often tell community-based people, members of parliament, seek out the independent visitor because their other role is to facilitate community involvement in correctional matters. In other words, serve as a bridge between what's going on inside and the local community, be it the Department of Education, Social Services. One example would be that they interact with the community policing forums as a contractual requirement. There are many, many, many other examples. We often say to them, if you go to a male prison, it's likely that that father, or he would be a father to children who are outside in the community who may or not be getting a childcare grant, and of course, you know, the familial circumstances would change. It's something that we are statutorily bound to do. In our experience, it's not that easy to keep independent visitors linked via a mandate from the community. If I can just say that loosely, because it becomes employment at the end of the day rather than, you know, the commitment all of us have to CBOs and NGOs. But I thought I'll just pause there to explain to the committee the important role, the way the legislation was drafted and the policy behind it. The third bullet, and this is where Professor Moshlaba comes in, he heads this. The Correctional Services Act also makes it mandatory for the department, for the head of center, to report all deaths in prison. In the Paul Small case, of course, which we will talk to a little more closely, there was a death arising out of the rat infestation, leptospirosis incident. That was reported to us. The other mandatory reports are in the instances of segregation. If an inmate is segregated from a particular cell and put into another one for the purposes of discipline or security, it must be reported to us. The rationale behind that, I think, is quite clear, that there must be justifiable reason, it must be rational, and it must not be arbitrary. Don't hide an inmate away from something. That's the reason behind the rule. And then if they are mechanically restrained, you know, leg cuffs, handcuffs, etc., that obviously invades their privacy to an extent, and therefore the inspector has to oversee it. And then the last one, which was an amendment to the Act sometime in 2008, is the use of force. So whenever a departmental official exercises his authority to use force, it should be reported to us. Rationale again, injuries arise out of the use of force, is it necessary, to what extent is it necessary, and so on. That's really the legislation. I turn to page 5. This continues from page 4 with regard to the powers, functions, and duties, and really it's an extract from the statute itself. I've already indicated that we've got to submit a report to the Minister and the Portfolio Committee in terms of section 90 sub 3. Now, in practice, all our reports are submitted and available to the Ministry, and of course through the parliamentary liaison, etc., the committee would receive it. So in as much as the statute says we report to the committee, it gets reported via that mechanism. So every inspection, of which we've done, I think 90 in the last financial year, there's a report, pro forma report, covering all aspects. That's an inspection report. The further powers are enumerated on page, suddenly my page is not numbered, but the page after 4, which is 5, submit the report. He can hold hearings, he or she can hold hearings in terms of the Commissions Act. I can say that in the inspectorate's time since 1998, we've only had one Commission of Inquiry, but the first, the inaugural inspecting judge, even before my time, which is 15 years, there was one inquiry. Of course, there was Jali, but Jali Commission of Inquiry was by proclamation, etc. By the way, judges are appointed for a period of 3 years, and the current judge took office in April of this year. Unfortunately, the previous one. So they have short terms, and we've had a number of them since the first. The previous judge, Judge Squeia, unfortunately passed away in office after taking it up for 6 months, so it created a bit of a situation. Nonetheless, the last bullet, in fact the second last one, speaks to the inspecting judge must request or should request the CEO to call publicly for nominations for the ICCB, and that's the point we make there. The last bullet, I've already alluded to that, we are a reporting body with no binding powers. So in other words, we can't enjoin the department to do something. We can conciliate, mediate, be suggestive and say, I think we should do this. There is a bit of a debate out there with regard to whether we should, whether we shouldn't, but that will take some time for us to debate whether it's necessary, etc. The next slide, the presentation follows the request from the committee with regard to an introduction, which I've done now. The next slide is 6. We speak about the strategic objective. I don't think I need to go beyond just repeating what is there. Our main strategic objective, of course, is to inspect prisons. And in consultation with the department and the ministry, in fact, we report on how many inspections we do, and the indicator is measured. There are currently 243 active prisons, if I'm not mistaken. We've set ourselves the target of, over a 3-year cycle, of visiting each and every one of the 243, whatever the number is. So on average there are about 90 to 100 thereabouts that we inspect over a 3-year cycle. And we've been doing this for quite some time, so we have a record of each inspection and so on. I move from strategic objective on page 6 and move to the Portsmouth situation. Maybe I first need to very briefly agree with the acting national commissioner. Over the years, in the existence of the inspectorate, prison overpopulation has been the norm. The ratio of inmate to official is wide. The number of bed spaces available within correctional centers is not sufficient to meet the number of persons coming in. And as he had said, the warrant comes, there's a knock on the door, you've got to accede to a court warrant. Of course, that being the situation, de facto situation, it doesn't mean that the department itself doesn't have mechanisms. And in the broader criminal justice system, there are mechanisms to try and reduce, and here I'm going to speak about remand detention. The REMA, the Correctional Services Act, was recently amended at 5 of 2011, if I remember it correctly. And there's a particular provision called 49 capital G, which the purpose behind it, well, the rule says that the department must identify those remand detainees who are serving, who are detained, whether with bail and they haven't paid it or without bail, in excess of 2 years, right? Now, of course, courts control the court role with regard to how long that period is. Sometimes the prosecution is not ready. Sometimes there are multiple accused. There are various reasons. Very difficult to give you a scientific answer with regard to what's happening, why are there so many people in there, but there are various reasons. But I think the challenge, and it has been the challenge in the criminal justice sector and of the criminal justice review, I'm not too sure if it's still on the table, with regard to each role player, from South African Police Services to the prosecution, to the magistracy, to say we all need to be working towards trying to minimize the time from the date of arrest, of course, to the date of finalization. So at that level, at the broader level, criminal justice I won't address now because of time. But the department also, and I think the foresight was that we're going to be with this problem for a while. Let me talk about two or three provisions which the department itself uses and can use. Maybe let me just finish my point with Section 49G. There's also some submissions that have been made by ourselves in our previous annual report and with some debate with regard to a remand detaining in the hands of a court. His or her bail will not be likely tampered with by the same presiding officer. I think we can accept that. There is a principle of law that speaks about you've got to present new facts. What has changed from the day I said you've got R1,000 or you are not going to be released? What changed? Right? And the department, of course, in terms of 49G, produces a list, goes to the prosecutorial arm for purposes of presenting to a magistrate. Largely, if these persons are represented by legal aid South Africa, you'd also expect, and I'm just generalizing at this stage, we can go into a little deeper when we have more time, is that attorney should be vigilant to the fact to say my client is entitled to a speedy trial, of course. He or she has been in prison for so long. That, those are normal kind of things the court will know. But what the court doesn't know, if it's not presented by an attorney who is fairly astute or an advocate, is to say since he or she has been there, he's got minor children, he hasn't seen them since then. The family has broken down. You know, there are various kinds of facts, and those, in our mind, constitute new facts which the department, I mean, the inmate should be privy to, the department would be privy to, and the attorney should be privy to present it, and at least give the magistrate some work to say, I've got to consider these new facts. And I think the provision is good. The department from our reports on the ground, produce these reports, but some thought needs to, and perhaps even resources, and I've heard anecdotally from DCS officials around to say, it takes a lot of time to put a profile of this inmate together, and resources to be able to present, because, well, we all know, remand detainees are in and out of court kind of thing, right? But it's something that we will continue kind of debating and see if it's efficient. That's 49G designed to bring down numbers. There are other provisions of the Criminal Procedure Act, and because you're a Select Committee on Justice, perhaps I should just mention it, is Section 63 capital A, that is where a head of center can go to a court and say, look, the conditions in this prison are intolerable. I can't do this and maintain a high standard, and I'm asking the court to release or consider the release. That's the other provision. Maybe historically, I'll tell you where that comes from. In the previous legislation, there was, well, there were political, I guess, decisions made with prison bursting, let them out in total. And I'm talking more sentenced prisoners, if I remember correctly. I'm not too sure if we're at that stage also to say some thought at whichever level needs to be given with. We need to release people, we need to remit their sentences because this is a vicious cycle. But anyway, 63A was a compromise section during Judge Fagan's time and the Department of Justice, Judge Fagan being the proponent of getting the numbers down, every annual report we talked about, was a compromise section with regard to you have to go back to a magistrate to secure release. You can't make an executive decision and say, please go, 63A. And then, well, let's leave it there with regard to the provisions, the powers that the department has with a waiting trial. Of course, also the prison numbers. I'm just making some general observations quickly, I think, important. With sentence inmates.
I'm requesting that we know that general thing in terms of legislation. I'm requesting that Mr. Ganesh Umesh just go on in the presentation because the time is not on our side. When we have enough time, we like to hear the general part of it, and then we will be able to ask him questions and on that. But for now, let's deal with the business of the day, that is the presentation in front of us. He has made the outline presentation and the legislative mandates of his department. So let him present, and then we'll take it from there. I'm requesting, because now he's generalizing too much, and
okay.
Then we don't even have the piece of legislation that he's referring us to. It will be difficult for us to engage to that.
Do you want to do that? Thank you.
No, completely accepted. Thank you, Chairperson and Honourable Member. Paul Small.
Yes.
Current situation.
Yes.
That's correct. Observations and findings at Paul Small. Leptospirosis. Let me just say this, that if you look at the sentence that starts amongst Chicks's findings in 2015, we had known that the situation at Paulsville was intolerable. I think the department knows it with the big numbers. And when we did the inspection in June 2015, we found that hot water was not regularly available, insufficient bedding, some inmates slept in on the floor and they were triple or double bunked, and the meals, etc., were not served in terms of the legislation. That was the case then, it was the case before, and it's probably still the case now because of the huge numbers. In particular, the level of hygiene in the section where this infestation took place and thereabouts, units C, D, and E were unacceptable. That was our report back in the day. And of course, as the committee had asked, our recommendations then were urgently improve the conditions and the level of overcrowding. Now, of course, you can do it only to some extent. If we jump to current situation at Baltimore, after Judge Van der Veer. If you turn the page, Judge Van der Veer stays in, had visited the the visitors committee, had sat and had discussions with the area commissioner on an ongoing basis. The last inspection where Judge Van der Veer stays was there was on the, in this year, there it is, on the 21st of January this year. And our previous observation is that there had been a great improvement in those sections. Painting, the walls were painted, you know, they were peeling, you can picture that. The dirt in the corridors and so on was cleaned up. So it was a great improvement in the physical conditions. And of course, efforts were observed, easily observed, by the department that you know, what they'd undertaken, they had done. The problem still, though, is that the place is overcrowded, and meeting those demands is not just a Baltimore matter, as we've expressed before, but it's a larger, bigger problem with regard to getting those numbers down. Unless we have a different prison where they can be transferred to, and I'm sure that the mechanics of Commissioner Klaas will tell us about. But from an inspected point of view, I can say that inter alia, the conditions, inmates' complaints about it have reduced, not because it's perfect, I think because they can see some improvement, and I guess the fait accompli is that this is an overcrowded prison. The other issues that concerned us at the time were the incidence of the number of assaults where the perpetrator was alleged to be an official in that instance. We have seen a decline in the number of inmates complaining that excessive use of force and or the incidence of unlawful, well, assault, tantamount to assault, is also kind of reduced. So that was one of the other problems highlighted to Justice Cameron. And of course, often, you know, like I might have been generalizing earlier, sometimes one would say, you know what, there's a big problem, everybody needs to solve it here. And when one goes and says, let's source who has been assaulted, etc., there's a bit of a dichotomy. So one has to, if I can use the Afrikaans word, crap a bit and look for it. But we can confidently express the view that the number of reports received is down. It'll take another visit again to see that those matters that were reported, which we of course look into, were properly dealt with and proper findings were made. I'm not going to speak because, well, not in the PowerPoint presentation itself, I'm not going to speak to each and every of Justice Cameron's recommendations. I am aware that the department in the presentation will address it, and we received a copy of this report this morning. Of course, we'll go back and look at it and liaise with the department if we have to. But I can conclude, unless there are questions or you want me to address anything, Chairperson and members, that the Baltimore situation is a national crisis, I think. A national thoughts and decisions must be made with regard to it. I know the Khayelitsha, I think there was on the facilities program, Khayelitsha was supposed to have a prison vote in the foreseeable future. And subject to the department correcting me, is that those funds were diverted towards the, I can use it, Feed Must Fall campaign. So, you know, the relief of the burden and corrections might have been stymied a bit by that. I will leave it there. Perhaps a visit to the prison might be something that the committee can actually observe for themselves. But from our side, not perfect. We cajole the department to continue improving, the officials to act properly. And the larger infrastructural matters is beyond the purview of objects of our organization to bar saying, look, something needs to give here. That would be the presentation subject to any questions.
Thank you very much. Actually, we want to get this before we go visit the, we want to know what's happening expected, because we, as you know, in the sense of that this is a national thing that we have, that the judge went there. But I will ask the honourable members, can we ask the prison to present, then we compare our notes. Is that so? Thank you,
okay, thank you. Thank you, Chair President, members of the committee. I will try and summarize and not repeat things that have been said in order to save time. No, not this one. Yes, the other one. And maybe just to say, while we will be talking about policy, because we are addressing the MCOP, at the back of your mind, you should also have your centers of a similar nature in your province. For instance, some of the things I'll talk about Paul's Woods is the same situation as Evan Wenzel, because it's also a facility similar in size with Paul's more or less built at the same time, but also a facility in a metro. The same with Hosimamburu in Swami. The same with Johannesburg Prison in Johannesburg, Port Clay Prison in Bloemfontein, St. Albans in Port Elizabeth. Now, as we've seen, some of these centers I'm mentioning, they are all in big metros. And if you were to follow SARS when they give their time steps, they will tell you that those are the towns that put together constitute more than 50%. Of crime in the country. If you were to just say, let's take metro society and go and dissect your crime stats, you'll begin to see what I'm talking about. So that's why I said that the issue of the levels of crime impacts directly on what one would do. But I think the second issue that when we talk about the offender population in our country, is the issue that I'm sure most of you as members of parliament you would have picked up in your door-to-door campaign. One of your the complaints of communities would be to say levels of crime are high, the police are not doing anything. Or they'll be saying people are released, are given bail when communities may not have understand. Or it will be the question of saying, they'll say correctional services or giving them parole while in their view this person should not have been like this. So I'm trying to show the dichotomy that I think from time to time government will find itself in between releasing and keeping those who are in conflict with the law. But coming back to specifically to the issue of Paul, if we go to slide number, as I said, I want to jump quite a number of slides. Slide number 6 is that one that gives you a national picture. It gives a breakdown of the national offender population. And as you see, our offender population, I would say, is stabilizing around 150, 161. It depends on a given day, it can go up, it can go down, but it's stabilizing around that figure. And in the Western Cape, you would see we are stabilizing around 29,000, 30,000 of them. And you would see that of that figure, almost 8,000 of those offenders are in Paul's correctional facility. Now, coming to Portsmouth, Portsmouth is comprising of five facilities. In slide 8, is Portsmouth Medium A. At Medium A, that's where we house all youth offenders or offenders who study. Medium B, that's where we house all offenders who are sentenced but who are further charges, meaning this offender might be sentenced for a particular crime and while he's incarcerated, the police would discover that in fact they've been looking for this person for other crimes. Then he must go back to court. So that offenders, then those offenders will keep them in Portsmouth. Portsmouth Medium C is our minimum detention facility. That's where we keep offenders who are due to be released. That is those who, other, some of them might have been sentenced for 30 days. Some of them might have served their sentence and they are about to go out. Some of them are serving day parole, meaning during the day they are released, at night they come back. The remand detention facility is a center where we keep all remand detainees. And the female center is where we keep all unsentenced female offenders, female offenders serving short sentences. Now, following the visit by Judge Cameron and the outbreak of leprosy that was explained earlier, maybe just to say two things about that disease. I think the outbreak of that disease was in the Western Cape. Now, what had happened, I think one offender in Portsmouth was diagnosed with that disease and died. And one offender, a member of the community in Hanover Park was also diagnosed with that and also died. Now, in terms of the World Health Organization standards, the minute two people died because of that, they checked the nature of the disease and they declared it a health risk for the country. And immediately it meant that the National Communicable Disease, National Department of Health, Provincial Department of Health, Provincial Department of Environmental Affairs, Correctional Services, and various other government departments, we had to all put resources in one basket and try to resolve that problem because it had the potential of spreading throughout the region. And in the mean, that disease is being spread by the movement of rats from one point to another. And most of the places where you will find the rats, which were that size, in the Cape Flat, in Khayelitsha, in hotels around town, in our facilities and so on. So immediately when there was an outbreak in Portsmouth, we immediately moved all half of the offender population. Fortunately for us, that thing happened at the time when we just completed the construction of three facilities, two of them, which is that all three of those were being upgraded. Barenboksveld in Ceres, Van Rensdorp in Van Rensdorp, and the Helder from Magdeburg in Caledon. We just finished with the renovation of those three. So we had to then move offenders there so that we can treat or do a proper fumigation of all the five facilities, because if you deal with rats, you are not going to say because you found rats in one facility, which was the remand detention facility, you'll only clean there. We had to clean all the facilities, even the places, the houses where members live, everything, because we had to move from one point to another. And as I think we indicated, I would say we completed that cleaning, and we are satisfied currently that we have dealt with the issue of leptospiruses, dealt with issues of cockroaches and so on. But coming back to the current situation, the challenge with Paulsville is that the infrastructure for Paulsville, if for instance you go to...
Can you try to just to wrap up? Because we actually learn to compare what we get from the JICS and your just to wrap up also for the problem of time. How the minister come to the places and then the members can come and know that other members have a meeting.
But that's very interesting. If you look at slide 8 will just give you more or less a sense of saying the best space in Paulsville is where we say at 100% occupancy. That's the best space. Now, if you take, for instance, the remand detention facility, the best space is 1,690. And on any given time, we have more than 4,000 offenders. In this instance, you see at 4,484. It goes sometimes up to 5,000. So that overcrowding impacts on a number of things. For instance, it impacts on our maintenance schedule, because a bathroom that is meant for 20 people sometimes is used by 3 times that number. In terms of the bed space, it again, the bed space is meant for 4,336, but you have almost double that number. Now, in some of the cells, you'll find that we give offenders mattresses. So no offender sleeps on the floor. They sleep on the bed or on a mattress. Obviously the mattress is on the floor, but I'm saying they don't sleep necessarily on the floor itself. Which is a challenge, because in terms of our standards, we would want to have all offenders sleeping in bed. But because of the overcrowding in this cell and the numbers, we are unable to meet that. The issue of what was, I think, that they talked about, again, the major challenge there is that I would say our geysers, but we call them calorifiers, but it's a big geyser basically. This is meant, like, I'm sure you know, if I were to make an example about your home now, if your geyser is meant for 10 people to wash and 20 people wash, at some point that hot water gets finished. Now, because of the overloading of the system, some of the offenders end up washing with cold water. One of the complaints related to the turnaround with respect to the pharmacy, because the pharmacy in Portsmouth providing medication to Portsmouth facility, to Goodwood facility, and to Mammalsbury facility. We've since built a new pharmacy in Goodwood, and also that pharmacy now is taking care of Mammalsbury, meaning Portsmouth pharmacy now is taking care of Portsmouth at home. I'm trying to run very fast. The issue of blankets, which were dirty and so on, that we dealt with also, I think you see the details in there. But I think the thing that I would request to spend about 2 to 3 minutes on public expiration, because when you talk about assault in a correctional facility, particularly a facility like Paulsmore, you need to understand the environment in which you operate. Now, the Western Cape, particularly, one of our major challenges is the environment in the community. If you take our communities, I would say you have more than 130 existing gangs in various communities. I'm sure the prominent ones will be your Americans, your Hard Living to Mind, the chess playing, and so on. Your mob staff, which were led by one George Thomas Kassari, who is currently serving with 7 life sentences in the Cox Act. Now, these gangs, they would have direct links with prison gangs. That's why if you take the next slide of money in bed, you say the Hard Living gangs would link with the 26th and the 28th gangs in our facility. Now, especially when we go to the post-war remand detention, part of the reason my court don't want to give bail is because most of those offenders were arrested in those communities. They come in coming from this gang. It's because it's not only a person who has killed someone, but if a person who has killed another person in pursuance of activities of a gang, it's a person who destabilizes a community. Now, it makes the situation much more complex for us to, even if we were to say, let's use other provisions of the law to get these people to be released. When you look at the profile, the type of an offender you have, you cannot, and their cases are taking a very long time, because it's very complicated cases that involves use of firearm and so on. So I think that's a major challenge of the Western Cape, and I would say of our metros, the issue of terrorism and how it impacts on our correctional facilities. But it means the type of offenders we have is no longer somebody who was arrested because he did not have a pass, like pre-94. But if somebody is arrested because he's selling drugs, he's involved in violent crimes, and so on. So we have a strategy. We are trying to identify some of these offenders who belong to them, put them aside so that we don't mix them with other offenders, and we design programs that try to take them out of this mentality of gangsterism. And also, when in trying to address violence, for instance, in our facility, you look at the type of an offender again. If you were to say, for instance, the Department of Education must give you their statistics of assault in schools, you'll realize that it's all sorts of conflicts that result through violence. Now, when they arrive in a correctional facility, officials daily have to try and say to them that, look, when we are here, you are not going to use violence against one another. So you must try and maintain that and reduce those incidents. And it involves quite a lot of work and energy from our officials. Chairperson, I think I should pause there then to allow questions.
As you can see, I'm really thank you very much. Yeah, I was got a problem of time, and I think there is another people who are going to come in here. I'll allow the members to ask questions, but I think we don't have time to respond to those questions. I think the department must submit those questions in writing, because our planning is to go and have an oversight there. Thank you very much. Over to you, Josh.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Honourable Chairperson, my first question is to the JICS. There's no page number here, but where it says the role of the JICS in respect to Judge Cameron's report, it states there that the rate of reports of assault by officials has decreased. I just want to hear from the JICS that the number of reports that has decreased doesn't necessarily mean that the number of incidents have decreased. Am I right in that regard? And then also the observation and findings at Polsmoor Correctional Centre, that slide, it says at the bottom, the outbreak was not surprising to the JICS. Do I make the correct assumption that if it wasn't surprising to the JICS, it should also not have been surprising to the Department of Correctional Services that, correct me if I'm wrong, that the problems, especially with the hygiene, was so clear that any person could have foreseen it. Which brings me, Chairperson, to a comment with a small question at the end to the department. And that is that the problem over here that I see, and also correct me if I'm wrong, is that the facts are being dodged, and that is that your prisons are filthy. Excuses can be made that rats come from outside or that diseases come from outside. But to deal with dirty blankets is no excuse. Blankets should be clean from the onset. You shouldn't deal with it when people get sick. That is the big problem. You are dealing, regardless of whether these are prisoners, you're dealing with South African citizens. And by placing their lives in danger, and that's exactly what this is, you are placing people's lives in danger in our prisons. My big question to you is this. If a prisoner dies in prison due to unnatural causes in that prison, who is ultimately responsible for his death? Chairperson, my comments with regards to this report is simply that this is waffle. Nothing else. There's no clear plan and there's no sense of any urgency to deal with these matters. People's lives are placed in danger. Whether people have died or not, that's open for debate. But if you put people, South African citizens, whether they're prisoners or not, under those conditions that I would not have expected from any decent democratic government, then you are placing their lives in danger. If any ordinary citizen does that to another citizen of this country, he is criminally liable. This is what I suggest that this committee chairperson, when we have done our oversight, also arranges a meeting with the minister to ask him to give us clear plans and to give us clear deadlines, because there is absolutely no sense of urgency to deal with this matter. It is, I get the sense, an issue that the department takes note of, but little more. And that's unacceptable. You're dealing with the lives of South African citizens. No decent democracy should have reports like this. Thank you.
Thank you, two gentlemen, for the presentation that you have done. Although time is not on our side, we like to engage more before we do the oversight. But my worry, I can hear in all the presentations, we talk more of inmates than officials themselves. There is somewhere in either of the presentations where we highlighted the shortage of staff. And then you ask yourself, if one official has to deal with 10 inmates, and then the very same official is faced with 30 inmates at a time. Clearly, we are doing as government, as politicians, we are saving our officials, yet we expect them to take care of the very same dangerous people that the community has put in prison. Can we leave?
No.
Can I talk? Okay. Now, I don't know who can I pose this question to. How are you dealing with the vacant position for correctional service employees or staff? Secondly, yes, we know that offenders need that unique, in a way, treatment. But again, we need to also put the blame into government, because for the statistics of crime being high, it's because of people doesn't have work, do not have work. People after completing their studies, they don't know where to go. The livelihood of our people is not conducive. So we cannot put blame in one area alone, not forgetting that we as government, especially the ANC-led government, is failing is failing South Africans. Now, Chair, because of time, re-agenda, and then another meeting where we are going to deal with this report point by point, item by item. And see, because everything, and you can see his response to this is very thick. We can't do regarding the injustice to the department to say no, everything is fine. Plan. They can have a plan. If there is no political will to the plan, they will just write to us. We'll read this thing like they are written to us. But to tell the honest truth, this matter needs political intervention. For them as officials, they do what we tell them to do. We cannot sit here and point fingers at them as officials without even checking the root matter, the cause of the problem. So you go kahore cherry reage nekahore retabisa you officially together with the minister and then we'll deal with this report moving forward. Because as you can see, I wanna leave the time frame. Because they just have to write because they are instructed to write. They just have to do their work. I normally visit, I'm from Mokwata, I normally visit Mangwe Correctional Service. The same problem that they are having in the big centers is the same problem that the small Mokwata is supposed to cater 800. But as I'm speaking to you now, they've got 2,500 and something inside. And there's nothing that they can do as officials. As and when the court feeds them and the police feed them, they will just have to do the work. We just have to think for them. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Queen. I thought we are all part of government. We are governing together as well as control committees. That name of ANC, you don't use it. Thank you very much, Honorable.
Thank you, Chair. Mine is like to make a proposal as well, but start first saying that we, I don't understand one wants next intuition that there's no political hedge, whereas you still request an outstanding information for you to clarify yourself. How did you arrive at that point? The audience of the political heat. I would say that we as a committee, myself, I'm proposing that because of the no time for us to be even engaged, I hope the questions actually that I need to propose to the both presenters. But because of time, I would propose that let's rather sit in the committee, maybe some of the proposals, first go through the oversight. After oversight, we combine our reports and their report. Then after that, we move forward because of really not going to do justice to them. If you want to go to question, even today, I appreciate the report that has been forwarded and presented to us, both of the presenters have done work, and you can see that the correction DCS was trying to address every question, the recommendation that was made by you. So to us to say that I appreciate the work that has been done, but you need set up engagement with them so that we can take the work of our work as an oversight forward. Without, I think it's important that when we government and the three arms of government. We are playing a role as well as the community sector, which is key in the three arms of government. So we really have to make sure that we are not without any pointing to that. So here we are collecting. If one of us is failing, all of us, the community of us fail. So with that, that's the proposal that we want to make.
Thank you, Honourable Pule. Thank you very much. My neighbor.
Because of time, but let me welcome this to report and second to the last speaker. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Kialibuwa. Bukobin. Sabongo Bukobin. Thank you very much. Sorry for the delay that happened before we start. This is not a corona. But definitely I support what the honourable member said. Let's go for an oversight and then we will go for it. Thank you very much. I think the meeting is adjourned.
Not many.